down in southern West Virginia, if it's clear liquid and in a bottle, you better smell it first. Grandpa told me about the first time he had moonshine. I said, "Where'd you get it, Grandpa?" He said, "Well, there's some folks who lived right across the mountain there. They make it. And I stole it." So, I guess if you're going to drink it, you might as well steal it. Well, it's just as bad as the other. Not too far away from where I live, where Grandpa was talking, on up the creek for a little while, there's a place called Big Ugly. Baptist Church over there. When you go over there and preach, you should say, "Good to be with you, Big Ugly people." That's a real place, by the way. It does look West Virginia. Not too far from Chattanooga, if you know that area. Logan, Williamson, Big Ugly, Chattanooga, Park, Swifty, all of those places. Big Ugly Baptist Church. So, I have my Bible open here to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. I'll be reading for you here just a little bit, verses 19 through 23. If you were here a few weeks ago when I preached, you know my philosophy on how long to preach is kind of like King Henry. He said to his second wife, "I won't keep you long. I don't usually preach too long." And in the Baptist Church in New Matamoros, where I was for 18 years, I always wanted to get out early so we could beat the Methodists to the restaurant. That was one of my goals. I think that's in the Bible someplace. It is in mine anyway. I've written it in the maps section. So that's always a good goal to have. So Lenny was the only one I gave permission to take a nap during the sermon. So I'm hoping you'll stay awake for it. Before I read scripture to you here, though, I want to have a word of prayer. Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this day that we have felt your presence already through the ministry of prayer and worship and song, children's sermon, and the gathering of your people together. Thank you, Father, for meeting with us this day. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless your word. May we be much more than just hearers of your word. May we become doers. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Egypt, or the land of Israel. When he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called Nazarene." We'll end our reading there, and may the Lord bless the public reading of his word. So I just take the next paragraph, you know, every time I preach. Last time I was here, we were in paragraph 4. So we'll just go to the next paragraph here, talking about the time when Jesus was brought back to his homeland because the folks who were looking to kill him had passed away. Joseph obeys the Lord. The Lord's message came to him in a dream. On the way back, they got a detour. Well, don't go back to that area because Archelaus, the son of Herod, if one was bad, the other was worse. So Joseph took the detour into Galilee, into a little place called Nazareth. Not much of a place at all. And that's what this little paragraph is about. The would grow up there. This past summer, I believe, or maybe it was during the springtime, I was on my way to Walmart. Fella who stands there a lot of days and has this little sign, "Please help, God bless." So he's standing there, and it is just pouring the rain. He's got these glasses on, and they're all fogged up. They're wet. I know he can't see, and I make it a habit. You may have some rules of your own, too, when it comes to folks who are along the roadside begging, or they look homeless, they look hungry, they look rules. One of my rules is never give money. You don't give them money because you really don't know where that money is going. Try to meet a need if you can, but not necessarily give them cash or anything else like that. So I'm looking around in the truck. What do I have? Do I have anything that I can give this fellow? And he's standing in the middle of the rain. Umbrella. So I look in the back floorboard, and there it is. There's my brand new blue and gold West Virginia Mountaineer umbrella. Okay. He's not getting that. I'm not that spiritual. No, sir. If you got to drink your moonshine, you better steal it. I learned that when I was growing up. So I thought, there's Walmart. I'll just run in there, and I'll grab him an umbrella. And that's exactly what I did. Lo and behold, I got a place right up close to the door so I could run in. And I knew right then, the Lord is with me. So I ran in. I don't know where the umbrellas are, but right there they are in front of me when I ran in. And, you know, the best part, they were $5. And I had $5. And I gave it to Sam Walton and his family. And I grabbed it up, didn't need a receipt, went right back out to the truck. I'm thinking, I hope he's still there, standing in the rain, because I've got his umbrella right here. And I'm coming back down, and there he was. I could see him. He's on the left. And I almost do a U-turn right in front of traffic. People are blowing their horns, and they're thinking, that must be a hillbilly driving that truck. And I pull right in front of him, and I rolled the window down. I said, I held out the umbrella. Here you go. I got it for you. He's standing there with his little sign. He said, nope. I said, come on, I just bought this brand new. You can have it. It's yours. I've got one of my own. I didn't tell him he's not getting the one I've got. But here's a brand new one. You can have it. I don't want it. And I was dumbstruck. I'm rarely at a loss for words. Okay. Have it your way. Way I went. Someone told me later that maybe he wanted to appear a little bit wet. Maybe he could appear a little bit more pitiful standing in the rain. He didn't want umbrellas. He didn't want a Big Mac. He needed cash. You know, character counts in today's world. You may not think that, but it does. And I don't know that fellow's situation. I don't mean to brag on him. Not at all. But I don't want to insult you. But I do want to instruct you. never want to insult you at all. We want to instruct you, but character counts. You cannot deny, deceive, lie, scheme your way into a better existence, into a better relationship with God Almighty. It will have to come from the heart. Takes hard work. Somebody's just not going to give it to you. You're going to have to put some rubber on the road. You're going to have some skin in the game. You're going to work with your hands. You're going to have to mean it from your mind. You're going to have to live it with your life. You're going to have to speak it with your words. You're going to have to live it out in your home. You're going to have to be what Jesus was to church. You're going to have to be a husband to your wife. You're going to have to love her like Jesus loved us, that He went to the cross and died for us on Calvary. He died for our sins. He sacrificed Himself. He became everything that we needed, and that's the relationship that you have to have too, not just with your wife, but with your children, with the person who sits next to you in the pew, in front of you, behind you, the people that you worship with, the people that you go to work with. You have to become genuine. You can't scheme your way to the top. You cannot be a fake. You must be real. You must be genuine. You must love them from your heart. And they will know it when you do. You've had enough of fake Christianity. We've had enough of Christians who are Christians just to say they know the Lord. They don't live like they know the Lord. So be careful. You develop spiritual, intellectual, and emotional character through the willingness to learn the lessons God sends your way. Just like He did with Joseph. I read to you. Go back to the paragraph before. God warned him in a dream, you take this child, my son, my only begotten son, and take him into Egypt because people are looking for him. Joseph obeyed. He was willing to learn. This paragraph, he says, take him back. Take him out of Egypt. Take him back home. And Joseph obeyed. You have to be willing to learn. Herod the Great was dead. But Josephus records he died from a worm infestation in his gut. It had a lot to do with their diet and what they ate. His son, Archelaus, took over the kingdom, Herod's kingdom, when he was 19 years old. He immediately executed 3,000 people. Remember what Herod the Great did when he wanted to worship Jesus. And he was duped by the wise men. They didn't come back and let him know, here's this baby Jesus that you can go worship. He had asked them to do that. And when he found out that they had mocked him and went back another way and skipped town without telling him where Jesus was, what did he do? The young boys who were 2 years old or younger, he had them slaughtered. Well, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree, did it? Archelaus immediately executes 3,000 people who were in the temple in Jerusalem. Now you understand what Joseph was going through in verse 22 when it says, and he was afraid to go there. He knew what was going on. The promise, the angel, the Lord said, those who sought the young child's life are dead. Didn't that promise mean anything? Didn't those words mean anything at all? I think it did to Joseph, but he had character. He kept going. He knew Archelaus was there, but he went anyway. moral and ethical qualities that you learned here in this place during a sermon, during a children's sermon, during Sunday school, during your personal reading of the Bible, when you listen and you obey what Scripture has for you. Moral and ethical qualities make up the character that will turn you into the Christian that you need to be. Remember this, friends. Remember this. Pay attention to this. Character is what you do when no one is looking and you don't think you'll get caught. That's what character is. Our schools used to graduate kids with character. Now they're graduating characters. Emotional, intellectual character through your willingness to trust the Lord and obey His Word. An unwillingness to learn leads you down the wrong path. But you must be willing. You just need to ask yourself, are you willing to go where the Lord takes you? Willing to sacrifice to make the relationship work? Are you willing to practice humility to a boss or a foreman who wants to humiliate you? Are you willing to follow in the steps of Christ? Love, being lovable? Those are hard things to do. Those are things that you have to think about and have to. You know, one of the best teachers in life is experience. Unfortunately, the negative lessons that we learn, the painful lessons that we learn, are sometimes the best teacher, the best one. My wife and I know that you haven't met her. She was with me a few weeks ago when I filled in at the court today. Both of us came from broken homes. And parents divorced when I was very young. I was 4 or 5 years old. Somehow, my father got custody of me and my brother. I don't know how that happened. It was early 70s, 1970. That was unheard of. It was always the mother. I think my grandmother kind of prodded my father over and over, day after day, night after night, until he filed for custody for us. Did my mother never showed up in court? She loved you differently. So he got custody of us, me and my brother. He dropped me off and my brother at grandma's house. She raised. I'd like to say I'm not a product of my generation. I'm a product of the one before because of what she did. And here was Grandma's philosophy of raising children. Are you ready? Don't cut any corners. Cut a switch. That was Grandma's philosophy of raising boys. She had 4 boys in the house. My 2 uncles and me and my brother. My dad's philosophy with raising 2 boys was pretty much the same. But are you ready for his philosophy? Let me tell it to you. He had 2 rules. First one was, put your foot down. The second one was, if the first one doesn't work, is put your foot someplace else. And that's how we were raised. You found character in things like that. You didn't get away with what you should not have gotten away with When they said it was time to go to church, you went to church. When Grandma said, do not lie, you told the truth. When you came home from school, she said, take those good clothes off, put on some rags, and go outside and play. That's what you did. When you sat at the dinner table, she said, eat your food. You ate your food or you were not going to eat. You know how it is. I'm not saying it should be like that today, but I think some of the principles that we used to live by should be in place. Maybe we would be a lot better off. I came from a broken home. My wife came from a broken home. I can't tell you everything about her story, but her grandparents were influential in raising her too. But there was a huge difference between her grandparents and mine. They were a little bit more well-to-do, and they exposed her to a lot of culture, concerts, and books, things of that nature. The big difference, though, I want to tell you, the big difference on Saturday night, Jane, my wife, and her grandmother sat down and watched Lawrence Welk. On Saturday night, my grandmother and I, we sat down and watched T-Hall. That's the difference right there. She reads and writes a lot better than I do, but I can sing some Buck Owens for you. I've got that Bakersfield sound going on. But we learn from our experiences. Do everything you can to keep your family together. That's what I learned from my upbringing. It was a difficult lesson. She learned the same thing. When we were married, we looked at each other and said, we don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to keep this thing together. I'm not looking down on people who have had a relationship break up, or they've had a divorce, but you could probably back up my words. It's difficult to keep a marriage going. It's difficult to raise a family. It's very hard to raise kids who love the Lord. See them come to faith. It's difficult to have those things. You'll never have them if you have character. You don't get character until you learn from God. People who are pointing you in His direction. You develop spiritual, intellectual, and emotional character through your willingness to learn, just like Joseph did, and just like you can here in this church, from the people who teach you God's Word, and from your own learning from God's Word. And you develop character by your willingness to practice self-sacrifice, also known as unconditional love. If you look at verse 23, it says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Do you know what Nazareth was? It was a wide place in the road. It had no significance. It was not a business town. It was not a military encampment. It wasn't a metropolis. It was a wide place in the road. He had no privilege. He had no leg up. But he had Joseph watching out for him. I don't know what Joseph was thinking when God pointed him toward Nazareth. There's no jobs there. DuPont didn't throw up a new plant so he could have work. They weren't making tires. They weren't building homes. They were just barely existing. Why didn't Joseph all of a sudden just look at Mary and say, listen, you're on your own. That's not my kid. I'm out of here. Because he had character. He had a little bit more than that down deep. had character that came from unconditional love. And that's the kind that you need. You need to love the unlovable. To do things that nobody else can do. Nobody else is praying, you've got to be on your knees. And everybody else has given up on this book. Make it the number one book on your reading list. I have an uncle. He just turned 80. I talked to him on the phone the other day. He practically has to shout into the phone because he can't hear. He was the pastor of the church, Joe. He was the pastor of the church where I was saved. That morning in Sunday school, they gave an altar call and seven teenagers went forward. He was the pastor and I was one of the ones that walked the aisle that day. And every time he talks to me, I'm going, "Hey, you remember the day you were saved?" I say, "Yeah, Uncle Carl, I do. You were the pastor and you gave the altar call and I went forward and people prayed with me and I accepted the Lord as my Savior." He said, "You better be reading your Bible." I said, "I am." He said, "I'm 80, and I've read it through 32 times. Now, that may not seem like much to you, but if you could hear Uncle Carl read out loud, you would know that's a small miracle. Now, when Herod did, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. He reads about as slow as I think. That's pretty slow. Okay. But he has an unconditional love brought on by self-sacrifice for the Lord himself. And I'm a recipient of that too. When you practice that, people come to know Jesus Christ through faith if you live it out. I don't know what happened to that fellow standing in the rain holding his sign. Please help. God bless. I left. I had my brand new umbrella to give him to him, and I was mad. I was mad. I was angry. So I went on down the road. I got on the interstate, and I went south. I was heading south on 77 over to Williamstown. I wanted to see my wife. She was working there. She was the executive director of Woods County Christian School. And I was just going to talk to her for a little bit. I pulled off, and I thought, there he is. There's a black fella carrying a backpack in the rain. He was walking up the entrance ramp to get onto 77. And I said, "Thank the Lord." I whipped around, I did another U-turn. I broke the law twice that day, and I'm glad I did. And I rolled the window down when I pulled the truck up next to him. I said, "You need an umbrella? I got one." He said, "Yeah, I do. I need one." And he grabbed it, and then he put his hands on the door like that. He looked in, and he said something I'll never forget, and I didn't expect. He said, "You wouldn't happen to be going to Parkersburg, would you?" I said, "I am now." "Jump in." So he jumped in. He's all wet. He's about 19 or 20 years old. So we get up on the interstate, and I'm thinking, "Boy, what's this fellow's story?" And I said, "What's going on? Why are you walking the interstate for?" And he said, "Well, I had a fight with my girlfriend, and I just said, 'Forget it, I'm out of here.'" He said, "I didn't get very far." And I said, "No, you didn't." And he said, "I figured I'd go back." I said, "Well, maybe that's a good choice. Maybe you need to go work on it a little bit." So I said to him, and broke my rule, that shouldn't give out money. And I said, Do you need money? He said, no, I've got a pocket full. And I'm thinking, that's stupid to tell a hillbilly you got money in your pocket. You just climbed into the cab of a truck with somebody you don't even know. I said, well, that's good. I'm glad you do. So we got off at the first exit there, and I took him to the gas station. And I said, I need to get a little gas. You tell me where to go from here. And he said, it's just down the road. I'm on my way. And he took off. He said, can I keep the umbrella? And I said, could you keep that umbrella? Maybe it'll be a reminder. Listen, folks. Character counts as you obey the Lord. As you find yourself in His Word, and you stay on your knees, and you live a life that is responsive to Jesus Christ, and people will come to know Jesus because you live like Him every day. Every day. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace, Your mercy and Your kindness. We do not deserve, Father, what You have sent our way in the way of blessings, in the way of abundance. Father, we thank You. We thank You for all that You've done. We ask, Father, that You bless us still, and though we do not deserve it. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name.